Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. Ryan Blaney, NASCAR champion, scheduled to join us here in just a few minutes in studio. They're running a little behind, so looking forward to having him in here as he will race this weekend at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Cracker Barrel 400. And you can hear it, the Rackley Roofing 200 at 7 o'clock on Friday, the Tennessee Lottery 250 at 6:30 on Saturday, and then the Cracker Barrel 400 at 6. I actually think these times might be wrong, but it's all good. NASCAR presented by Green Trees Company this weekend. Green Trees Company is a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville. Available online at greentreeswithazcompany.com.
So let me ask you this. Why is this – I know it's the next race. I get it, all that. But why is this race important in the season for the drivers?
I mean, it's become a popular track for drivers. But, like, what I have seen the last few years is a guy wins this race and kind of jumpstarts their season. You know, last year Joey Logano won the All-Star race, hadn't won anything, and then – month or so later, comes here to Nashville, wins, gets himself in the playoffs, and then he becomes the champion. So,
nice.
You know, I think Blaney's got a really good shot. He runs well here. He had a people may remember he actually had a really hard hit here a few years ago, and they actually put safer barrier on the wall, changed the wall because of where he hit. But you know, Ross Chastain won it a few years ago, and that kind of jump-started his season. So I just think – and it's earlier this year. You know, it's traditionally been towards the end of June instead of the beginning of June like it's going to be. But I think it's just a good place to jump-start. I love that all three races are under the lights. You've gotten side-by-side racing, three-wide racing. So I think it's going to be a good show.
Weren't they hitting turn one? Like, that was like a bad spot on that track?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, here's the thing. I never realized this until I got in a car and actually did the same day. We did laps in an actual car with a driver.
Pass.
I did not realize how quickly that wall comes up.
Right.
On you. Like, you dive down into one, and you think that you got a lot of space, and all of a sudden you're just kind of drifting up the track, up the track. So, you got to brake. You use more brakes here, and then on the other end, you go down the backstretch. The other end's different. You know, the other end's the wall comes up on you fast, but it's still kind of a different turn. It's a track that has character now. It sat there for 10 years or whatever, mm-hmm. and aged, and they came back and the surface was kind of worn a little bit, and the race car drivers love that. Like, the older the surface is, the more the race car driver loves it.
That's a concrete track, correct?
It is.
Aren't there like only three or four of them around?
Bristol, Dover, Nashville.
Look at that. I got some knowledge.
And then Martinsville has it on parts of it, but it's mainly paved.
Otherwise, it's a fun week, man. You have a good time.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Will there be food in the media center?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, I would think with Cracker Barrel as a sponsor that.
Right?
Probably be
some Cracker Barrel. Get me one of the Uncle Herschel breakfast.
Yeah.
My ass.
I was about to say, was that Peyton?
That sounds good. I think the night races are great. Now, my advice that somebody gave me a long time ago, bring some sort of headphone or
wear earplugs. Yeah. It does get loud there.
It gets very loud there. But I think it's great, man. I mean, it's the focus of the automotive world. North America, I guess, will be on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here on Nashville.
Prime. Well, and it's Sunday night. It's a primetime race. So it's a good time to watch. I will say one of the coolest things I run around all weekend. You talk about getting your steps in. I'll get them in this weekend. And, our good friend Katie Myers, who is the director of marketing, she's kind of experienced this the last few years too. You do all this work and everything leading up to the race, and you go through the Craftsman Truck Series race, the Xfinity Series race, then all the pre-race stuff for the Cup race. And the coolest thing is to when it's all done, because like you do driver intros and you do the command to start engines, and then you got to get off pit road. Like you clear, everybody clears, and you're, you know, it's quick because those cars are going to start moving. And so the coolest thing is I rush to pit road, and then there's an opening behind the pit wall, but there's an opening where they drive in to go back to the garage. Mm-hmm. And the last few years, Katie and I have stood there to watch the green flag, because you have a perfect view of the stripe and the flag stand as they come across. And it is like the most rewarding, relaxing feeling, because it's like you're done. The work's done then. I mean, now the race has begun and you can kind of sit back. And so then I'll take the golf cart back around and go up to the booth with Joe Williams. But it's just – it's like the coolest thing to be able to watch that. And, you know, in the old days, you would see the flash bulbs go off as they're coming across the start-finish line. But it's just so cool. Looks like our guests are here. So what we will do is let's go ahead, Dr. Crane, and step away a little early, and then we will come back with Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 for Team Penske. He will join us next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Very excited, as we've been telling you about coming up this weekend, the Cracker Barrel 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway. One of the guys you're going to see this Sunday night is Ryan Blaney. He's the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series champion and the driver of the number 12 for Team Penske. He's in studio with us. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. I told you as we were coming up here, you've – been on with us before. We've talked on the phone, but first time we've actually gotten to meet.
Yeah, it's nice to be in the place where all the magic happens.
Yeah. Nashville has some fond memories for you, I'm sure, because you got to celebrate your championship here. And you had an epic party, from what I have been told.
That was fun, man. Yeah, we did the banquet here that year.
Yeah.
Downtown. And, you know, it's always – the only time you ever want to be at the banquet is if you win the championship. Like, other than that, you don't want to be there celebrating somebody else. So that was fun. And I have a bunch of buddies who live in town, so it was cool to have all them out, be able to, you know, party with you. And we ended up at we had our big Team Penske party at, I think it was Miranda Lambert's place. I think, what's her bar's name?
Oh, what is the name of it?
It's a great bar. God dang it.
We just call it Miranda's.
Basically. Yeah, Miranda's place. Yeah. Not her home, but yeah, it was her bar. So yeah, that was a blast. I had held Duggar, your neighbor. He got up there and sung a couple songs for us that night.
My man.
And he tried to get me on stage, but I don't know if I could tell what the microphone was. That's how far gone I was. But I love coming to Nashville. The racetrack's great. Obviously, the town is awesome, and I love coming.
So I was at the banquet part, and I'll never forget, because I was like, you know, I'm going to probably take off. And one of my good friends works for one of your sponsors, Hunt Brothers Pizza, mm-hmm. and was like, no, hang out. Flo Rida's playing. It'll be fun. I'm like, okay, cool. So I start going in, and I look, and I see you, and I think at the time was your fiance, now wife, Dale Jr., Amy, Duggar, his wife, all leave it. I'm like, where are they going? Yeah. And then I get a text from Duggar like an hour later of like, yeah, Blaney's having a party.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think we couldn't wait to get out of there. Yeah. Get over to where the party was happening, finally let loose and take the tux off and really let it go.
Was it that night where it kind of hit you that, hey, I'm a champion now? Or did it actually happen in Phoenix?
I think it actually happened once I finally got home from Phoenix. So, you know, you win the championship Sunday night, you stay in Phoenix, and then they ship you to New York for like 2 days.
Yeah.
So my wife and I went to New York, did all the whole media scrum. And then when I got back home, like that Wednesday or Tuesday night, and I finally got to like decompress and we were finally home. That's when it kind of hit me. Like once it finally just settled down, because it was just wide open, you know, right, through New York and stuff like that. So, and then it kind of relaxes a lot. And then you have the banquet, you know, 3 weeks later after Thanksgiving. And then it kind of ramps up again. You know, you get to remember everything and celebrate with all your guys again. So it kind of goes in waves, honestly.
Was your first win Pocono?
My first Cup win was Pocono in 2017.
All right, yeah. So a question off
with
of that.
With the Wood Brothers, right?
Yeah, with the Wood Brothers, yeah. Yep.
Did you know what to do, where to go, and Winner's Circle? I mean, how would all the Cup, you've never been there before in the NASCAR, in the Cup race.
You know where Winner's Circle is, yeah, for sure. You walk by it, you know where it is at every track. Sometimes it gets hard to find in the car,
right?
Like, it's different walking to, like, driver intros or walking through the garage, like, oh, there's Victory Lane and stuff. But then if you get fortunate enough to win the race and you're in your car and you're trying to find it, that can be pretty tough. But they usually do a pretty good job of navigating you. Like, NASCAR officials will be like, you know, go this way, that way,
right,
and stuff.
Do they get mad if you spin out?
No, they love it. They love doing burnouts and stuff. Yeah, okay. They love it when you do that. Just not around people. Like, if you do it on the track, right, that's fine, right, but don't do it, like, on pit road.
All right. Chase is a smart guy. I'm the guy that's on the outside looking in. Can that hurt your car? Like, if you go for the post-race and, like, hey, you know, you did the spin out, we found this or that.
Yeah.
Not saying anything's bad.
It can. I say I don't do, like, the big smoky burnouts often because it can tear some stuff up.
Right.
But on occasion I'll do it. And I do it at a low frequency, like, RPM, right? If you're ripping, like, 10,000 RPM, you're probably going to blow it up, blow the motor up. So I try to keep it mid-level to where it's not really hurting anything, but you're getting some smoke.
Oh, okay. Now, yeah. Chase hates this question. I always ask all the drivers, when you're in traffic around town,
yeah,
does it drive you insane like it does me?
It does.
So what do you do?
We got that in common. Nothing.
I know you don't just sit there, right? You try to find alternate routes?
No, I sit there.
Oh, no.
Charlotte's probably just as bad as Nashville. Wow.
I'd say it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to do a good job of, even if I know where I'm going, I got to go on the highway, I try to, like, Google Maps it just to see if there's, like, an accident. But if I don't do it and there's an accident, I just sit there and just eat it. You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
I remember asking Darrell Waltrip one time. He's like, I will not slow down. I'll go.
Really?
Take me 30 minutes. If I make a mile in 30 minutes, I got to be moving.
Right.
I'm like, I get that.
Yeah,
that's Darrell, though. I can't sit there. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So in relation to Team Penske's shop, like, how long does it take you to get there when you have to go to the shop?
I'm about 25 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not too far, nice. Yeah.
I think Joseph Newgarden lives.
Newgarden's in Nashville.
Yeah, he's back here.
So. Yeah, so he'll fly, you know, he'll fly into the race shop, whether it's Mondays or Tuesdays, whenever he comes in. So, you know, he's and he usually spends a day, like, he'll fly in Tuesday mornings and go home Tuesday nights.
We like to remind him when we ask him to do something, hey, we talked to you when you were nobody. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Mr. Indy 500,
I know,
twice champion.
I know, so. Two times, man. Back to back is what
he is. Did he ever get that tattoo?
No, man, that was a fake. It was a fake tattoo. So Joseph Newgarden is an IndyCar driver, drives for Team Penske. He lives here in Nashville. He's from Nashville. And two-time Indy 500 winner, and he sent me a text, like, it was like the weekend of the championship race. And he's like, if you win the championship, I'm getting a tattoo of you on my leg. I was like, all right, here we go. So the first guy I text after I got back to my bus after we won the championship was Joseph. And I was like, let's find a picture of what I want on your leg. And he showed up at our after party after the banquet with a fake tattoo on his leg. But like someone like, did a really nice job. It looked real.
Yeah.
But I could tell it was fake. And he was like, yeah, it's a fake one. I really couldn't do that. I was like, man, I'd have done this. I would have went through with the bet. He didn't go through with it.
Oh, you would have.
I would have done it.
The work to do that and just go ahead and get it done.
If you're already going to sit there for 3 hours to get it stenciled on, you might as well just do the whole thing.
Right. Ryan Blaney in studio with this. I remember one time asking a basketball coach about his great victories. He said, I can't tell you the great victories, but I can tell you every tough loss.
Yeah.
What's the toughest loss you've had in NASCAR?
The 2020 Daytona 500, I'd say, is tough.
Yeah,
that was the one with Newman and I got together. So we were coming down to the end of this race, Daytona 500, our biggest race of the year, and I'm second, coming towards the lead, coming off turn four, and kind of don't make the best move, probably not the right one, and end up not winning the race, and that one haunts me to this day. And it's so easy to, like, Monday quarterback the thing. It's like, well, gosh, just do this, right? And I try not to be that way because it'll drive you insane.
Is that the one McDowell won?
No, that's the one Hamlin ended up winning.
Oh, Denny, yeah.
Yeah.
His third one,
so what did you go back? What should you have done that you didn't do?
Yeah, just make a different move at the end of the race. Like, choose a different option, like a different lane,
But that's like – I mean,
yeah, split second decision. Yeah. That's why I try not to like go crazy thinking about that stuff. I try to learn from it right away. Like, spend half an hour on it, figure out, okay, if you're in this spot again, you know, think about this, do this, and then just move on from it. Because if I go to sleep thinking about it, I'm never going to stop thinking about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I have to be over it that night, and then I can wake up the next day like it's a new week, and let's just move on from it.
Do you feel like you would have won that had you done something a little different?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and gosh, there's tons of races that drivers or players in any sport right. event, like if I would have just done this different, we would have won that game, won that race, and all you can do is learn from next time, and hopefully you make the right choice, I guess, yeah.
We're talking to Ryan Blaney. He's in studio with us. So when you kind of think about, and I mean, you're 31, so you got a while, obviously, but is the 500 kind of the next big thing to check off?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd obviously like to win a 500. I've been close there a few times. I legitimately think, like, you look at, I had probably three good shots to win the 500 so far, and they just didn't really work out. Honestly, like, the next one that I really want to win, even more than the 500 right now, is I want to win Indy. Like,
that'd be cool.
The Brickyard when we go there here later this year. You know, driving for Roger Penske, him owning the place, all the history behind that place. That's like top of my list. To be able to share that with him would be really special.
Okay, well, that leads me right into Larson just tried the double for the second year in a row. I mean, is that a goal of yours? Or, you know, I feel like everybody thinks every race car driver wants to do that, but then some of them are like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
But is it something you've thought about?
If the opportunity presented itself, I'd do it.
So if Roger came to you and said, Ryan, we want to put you in another car.
Yeah, I'd say yeah. I'd say yes for sure. And, hey, it was fun watching Larson, you know, prepare for that. It's a busy time, you know, especially trying to pull off both of them. Just doing the Indy 500 is busy. The whole month of May is – you're up there and you're testing and you're getting ready for that. And then he's also got to pay attention to the NASCAR side of it too, with the 600. And you're just praying that it all works out with weather and things like that. And the first year, the weather, you know, crushed him. And then this year, it, you know, didn't really go well for him either race. And but yeah, it's something that I'd like to do. I think just doing that feat and being able to run all 1,100 miles would be a pretty cool accomplishment.
So I've always asked, you know, especially after Joseph won the first one, I was like, all right, because I had asked him about it before, and he said, you know, Mr. Penske and I kind of have a deal of we're focused on winning the Indy 500, and then we'll talk about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought he could probably hang in NASCAR.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would need to test and stuff, but I feel like he could hold his own, because you don't really see it come back the other way. It's always a NASCAR driver going and running the Indy 500. You don't really see them trying to do it the other way.
Yeah.
Do you think him or somebody else could pull that off?
I think he could. I think Scott McLaughlin could, another Penske guy. It's funny. Me, Joseph, and Scott have talked. How cool would it be to do two doubles? Like,
oh, yeah.
Me do the double, and then one of them also do the double with IndyCar and NASCAR.
That would be
really
cool.
You both flop. You flip-flop and you do both of them. I think that'd be a cool story. No one's ever done that. And like you said, you haven't really seen many, if any, like full-time IndyCar guys do.
I mean, Mario did it, AJ Foyt did it. But
yeah.
I mean,
it's been recent.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, you never know. That'd be pretty cool. It's kind of getting to that point. It's just the scheduling stuff is hard to work out, you know, and
does this next-gen car or Gen 7 car make it a little harder? Because, I mean, you guys have had to learn this thing, you know, the last few years.
Yeah, it definitely makes it tough, I think. I mean, these cars are hard to drive, and they can kind of jump out and get you pretty quick. But I think what those guys have going for them is you don't know what you don't know, right? I mean, like, so it's just a learning curve no matter what car it is. It'd be the same as a cup guy going to run an Indy cars. Like, you don't know what they feel like. So it's a brand new learning experience. So, but they are hard to control. I mean, just any professional sport is tough to kind of get your arms wrapped around.
Have you, when's the last time you parked your car and went to whip somebody's ass?
Oh gosh. It's been a while.
Has it?
It's been a while. No one's made me that mad in a while.
What's the maddest you've been?
The maddest I've been.
You were pretty hot when you hit that wall here a few years ago, which we were all like, what in the world? How did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wasn't mad at a certain person, though,
right,
for that one.
Yeah, that was
I was
just
mad
a
more
weird
at the racetrack.
That was a weird situation.
For having a concrete wall where there shouldn't have been one. I'd say I was pretty ticked off. I got wrecked at Daytona in 2023. Like, someone caused kind of a dumb wreck, and I ended up getting – the worst thing that could happen in – our sport is especially at like a Daytona racetrack where you're going 200, is getting hooked in the right rear and like head on into the fence going a buck 80. That was probably the maddest I've been at somebody like causing that wreck and me getting my wind absolutely knocked out of me and headache for a few days after that. So that was, it's been a couple years since I didn't want to throw fists, but I was pretty fired up.
Did you go after the guy? I mean, did you find
out? I waited. So I was out of the race. I was out like halfway through the race, and I waited around the race to like go right to pit road right after he got out of his car and kind of voice my frustration. And
okay, you can name
so that was last time.
Who was that?
Well, it was Christopher Bell. Like that was he kind of caused that wreck. And so I was, I mean, it takes a lot for me to get to want to like fight somebody.
Yeah.
But
now are you told not to do that? Like, hey, the image, cause I'd be throwing hands all the time.
Yeah. It's not encouraged. I don't think my bosses would like that very much. And all the sponsors on our car would like me, throwing hands on pit road. So I try to stay away from that.
I will say like, you know, you're kind of in this category, but I feel like Christopher, if he makes a mistake, he's going to be like, hey, I'm,
yeah.
You know, and you're that way,
yeah,
too.
And like, that's how we talk it out. Like, a lot of times it can be settled just, hey, this is why I'm upset, and I can be ticked at you, but, you know, and when they acknowledge that they made a mistake, then, okay, we're fine.
Fine. See, and then there's some drivers that will complain, but then if they make a mistake, they won't do it. You know, they won't say it. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, you screwed up. Like,
you gotta be transparent, man.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So what's the oddest place you've ever been recognized?
Oh, this is a great one. I was I love going to Ireland. Sweet. Used to go there a lot before I, you know, was married and stuff. And so I was walking down, I was with a couple buddies, we were walking down the street in Dublin, and guy was wearing a 12 hat.
No.
In Dublin, Ireland.
That's
and
great.
I was like, holy crap, man. Like, that's so cool. And I kind of waved to him and talked to him. And he was like, oh, my God, we're huge fans. It was cool. I was like, you never know who watches around the world. Like, that part's always super neat to me.
Oh, that's very cool. Of all the places.
Yeah, of all the places. And the time that we're just walking down the road passing each other, I was like, what are the odds of this? And that guy decided to wear that hat that day.
And there it is.
Pretty neat.
I told Chase you have the greatest birthday.
New Year's Eve.
It's the best.
Yeah. Don't ever have to plan anything.
Right. And you got fireworks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the perfect night for
you. Yeah, it's a great one. It's tell you, the 21st birthday on New Year's Eve was pretty fun.
Oh,
that's always a good one.
Where were we?
I was at Dale Jr. used to own a bar in Charlotte called Whiskey River.
Yep.
And so I was out there for my birthday for that one. So that was a fun night. What I can remember, it was a good time.
Did Dave throw down too for the 21st?
My
birthday?
Dad?
Yeah.
No, my dad was not there. So it's actually my parents' anniversary as well as New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's always fun. We usually do dinner like with my parents and me, and then I kind of go off and do my thing. But no, dad stayed home that night and took mom out to dinner.
A lot of fireworks on December 31st.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's cool. I know a lot of people that have gotten married on the 31st. Like Dale Jr. and his wife is the 31st. One of my good friends, another racer, Bubba Wallace, he and his wife is the 31st.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of neat.
Is that a tax break?
I don't know what it is, man. I really don't know. But I'm like, it was like a group of years that it was like 3 or 4 years in a row where my buddies were getting married on New Year's Eve. I was like, man, it's my birthday. I got to go to your wedding on my birthday. Right. Like, but it was good. It was a great celebration. So it was fun.
Nice.
It's funny. Growing up watching NASCAR, your dad was always one of my favorites because like he never caused trouble. He was very mild-mannered. It was kind of like you, you know, mild-mannered. Dave Blaney, man. You remember watching Dave Blaney back in the day, right, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I thought two were going to have on the show today.
I know.
And he's like, we got Ryan.
I know.
I'm like, come on.
I hate you got stuck with me. Yeah. My dad, I said, Dad, yeah, you're going on the game today, right? He was like, no, you can do that for me. I don't want to do that.
So, Chase, you got in town today.
Yeah.
So, is it balls to the wall for the next 4 days, 5 days? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, so today I'm doing a bunch of this stuff today, kind of, you know, pre-weekend race promotion type stuff. And then next couple of days, I kind of have a little bit of, like tomorrow, I have a little bit of downtime. I'm gonna go golfing a little bit tomorrow, which would be nice. And then Friday I got just kind of pre-meeting stuff for the weekend. So today's kind of my busy day of doing a lot of media and things like that.
Yeah, we have to twist you drivers' arms to come to Nashville early. It's crazy.
It's right. Crazy, I know.
Can I ask a question that now, again, Chase is the expert. I'm the guy on the outside. How do you scout Nashville Super Speedway track? Do you have a simulator? Do you watch tape? How do you do this?
Yeah, so it's kind of all the above what you said. We have these simulators. They're like big full motion, full body race cars. Each manufacturer has them. So Ford, Chevy, Toyota have one. They scan all these racetracks. They go out there with this big machine and scan them, and it scans every little bump and crevice on the racetrack to try to get that as accurate as they can. So a lot of guys do that to prepare. People don't really ever realize this, but like we watch film, you know, just like other sports teams, they'll watch film of previous races, kind of just how it played out. A lot of meetings with me and kind of my engineers and crew chiefs on, hey, how did the race last year work? How were we set up wise? What did we change going back to be better? So there's a lot of that prep work. So it's a lot of preparation, a lot more than people realize is like, you know, so Mondays we'll go in and we'll kind of debrief the previous weekend. And then that afternoon we turn to what's up next. And then you spend a couple of days kind of just talking over, here's our plan. Here's our race strategy. Here's our practice plan. And here's how we're going to kind of set the car up.
Does your spotter need to know other drivers' antics, or not antics, or what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, what they've been doing?
I'd say that the drivers know that more than the spotters. Like the spotters will know a little bit of kind of what other drivers' tendencies are, but like, right, we race the same guys every week. So as you run around these guys more and more, like I know what this guy's tendencies are. I know what he's really good at, and I know what he maybe isn't so good at. And I know how he kind of races, so I can kind of be prepared for whatever. Like, hey, if this guy likes driving in the corner super deep, you know, so I can be ready for that if we're racing side by side. So as a driver, you pick up on all those things, and that's what you factor in as you're kind of racing certain guys at any given point.
That's a lot.
Now, has Joey given you some advice on how to save fuel here? Because, I mean, I thought that dude was going to run out like 20 laps before he did with all the restarts.
He was running a hybrid, I think, that weekend.
Something.
He was making gas. But
I mean, it was so I'm the track announcer, so I'm up in the booth watching and everything, and my partner and I are like, there's no way the 22 has enough gas because he had pitted before a lot of you guys. But I guess it was just the caution laps and all the restarts.
Yeah, caution laps and that's a skill, like saving gas. You know, and it's you can save gas under green, you know, without losing a ton of time. And we know all this stuff. Like when you make your last pit stop, if it's like kind of right on the edge of the fuel window, it's like, hey, you need to save us 3, 4, or 5 laps of gas, you know, and they roughly have an idea as a driver. You're like, okay, you're doing your best you can to keep pace, but also think you're saving enough. And they'll give us updates. Our engineers will give us updates of, hey, I need a little more, or that's good, or you can actually run a little bit harder. It's a big skill that he really has. He saves a lot of gas and is really efficient with it. And it obviously played into him winning that race last year.
Is it different with this car as it was to the old car?
No, I'd say it's pretty similar. Yeah, the fuel save stuff. Yeah. So, but it varies track to track, right? Like it's harder to save gas at like a short track, like a Martinsville, than you would at like a big momentum place. So it just varies of what mileage you get and how you kind of attack that one.
Real quick, I know we have to go to the break, but you're married to a model.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
I don't have a question.
You got her on your phone there. Right,
I looked it up. I'm like, I just wonder what a successful NASCAR driver, and like, good Lord, man.
Yeah, I got lucky. I don't know how she picked me.
I need to take up driving now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But yeah, we got married this December, so that was great. It was fun to finally tie the knot and met through some mutual friends of ours, which was just really neat how it played out. But yeah. Married them all. I never would have thought I would have.
So she knows all the ins and outs of what you got to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean,
it took her a while. Like when we when we met, she had no idea about racing.
Right.
She didn't know anything about the sport. So I had to teach her kind of, hey, here's how the sport works, and here's what, you know. But then also, here's my week, right? Like here's how busy I am through the week. The weekends, I'm not home a lot. She travels a lot with me. to the races, which is nice to still spend time together. But and she took it all in stride, which was great. You know, she was accepting of, you know, hey, I understand you're gone a lot, and I understand the job asks a lot of you. So that I got really lucky with her understanding, because I don't think everyone would. You know, it'd be easy for someone to say, you know, hey, I can't do this. You're gone too much.
Yeah, see you in December.
Things like that. Yeah. So and it's nice that we travel still a lot together. She comes to most of the races with me.
So she like big fan, like, right?
She's become a huge fan. Yeah, I mean, she's into it and she's in it and she knows all about it now.
Love it.
Took a while though. Took a while.
Does she like watch him from the pit box or?
Yeah, she'll watch pit box mostly. She has her own little headset radio and she doesn't talk on it.
But she could talk to you?
No, she couldn't. Oh, okay. No, it doesn't have a headset on it.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have a microphone. It just is headphones. But yeah, she loves watching on the pit box and like being around my engineers at the strategy side and seeing the pit stops and like hearing me and stuff. And so yeah, she definitely loves sitting
if
up
I,
there.
If I was on your team at least once, like the 600 or something, when it's like deep in the race, I would totally put her on there. Ryan, did you take the trash out today?
Yeah. Dogs got to go out. I got to go let the dogs out.
Well, now I feel like a creeper because I'm like, wipe on your phone.
Oh, God. I know, it's your screensaver. It's fine.
He's never going to come back on there. I know, man, I got 1,000 questions for you. One more real quick. Is that annoying when you've got to talk to the announcers? Does that get on your nerves?
No.
It doesn't?
No, it's part of it.
It's like I'm trying to drive, guys.
Yeah. Well, they don't ever do it like when we're green, like running. Right? Like, they don't do that. But like, yeah, under caution, sometimes they'll get on there, talk to us because they, you know, they broadcast it and stuff, and it's cool for the fans to hear. I think of having a conversation with what, you know, the announcers that they're watching on TV and the drivers they're watching, and kind of just get it inside. So yeah, I enjoy that stuff.
I love it when you guys give it to Boyer.
Yeah,
Boyer's
he's always fun to mess with.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he's
every chance I get.
We did the show at the banquet. I think the first year it was in Nashville, and we're on Radio Row and everything, and just drivers are coming through and stuff. Boyer comes and sits down, and I just look at him, and I'm like, did we have a rough night? And he's like, man, this town, I don't know how you people live here. Like, we don't go to Broadway every night. That's how we live
here. Yeah, it's easier for people who live here, right, to not have the rough mornings every single time. You know, when we come here for the banquet, we're here for 3 days,
right?
So you just use all of it. I mean, and you just struggle every morning, but you get back going because you know, hey, I'm only here for 2 more days.
Oh, so. Yeah. Can you stay till 3? I got more questions.
Yeah.
I got all kind of questions. Do you
have a few minutes to hang?
Yeah, I got a few minutes, I think, yeah.
Okay. We're going to step away. We'll have more with Ryan Blaney coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hanging out on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with Ryan Blaney. He, of course, will be in the Cracker Barrel 400 this week. You're not running anything else, just the cup race, right?
Just the cup race.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, my microphone was muted. Just the cup race this weekend.
Do you kind of like that? Because I feel like it's been a while since you've run Xfinity.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been, I think the last Xfinity race I did was probably 2019, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 2020. Yeah. And I like running that stuff. We don't have an Xfinity program anymore at Penske.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't really not really available for me, but I loved running that stuff. It's just I haven't done it in a while.
How has it been having, you know, the Wood Brothers, I guess, are kind of like the the de facto fourth car, but having Josh in the mix, obviously Josh Berry being from Hendersonville, local guy. I mean, he's already won this year, which was really cool to see. What's it like having him around?
Yeah, Josh has been a great addition. I was a big fan of his, you know, watching him coming up. I say coming up like he's way younger than me, we're the same age, but you know, when he was in late models and driving for Dale Jr. And, you know, when he got the opportunity to drive for the Wood Brothers, that's a special team for me because I, you know, I drove for them for a handful of years and got my first win with them and always want to see them do well. So I was really excited when he was coming on board because I knew he was going to do a great job. And then, you know, them winning kind of right out of the gate at Vegas early in the year was great. And so, yeah, he's been a really fine addition to our whole group.
Do you ever go back and watch the broadcast copy of the race when you get home, like at 1 a.m?
Yeah, I do every time. Yeah, I'll
really?
Yeah, I'll get home Sunday nights and I'll usually like have a couple beers and I'll watch the race and just kind of it kind of decompresses me.
Yeah,
and just because it's hard to kind of get my brain to shut off for a little bit after I get home, you know, hours later. So that kind of relaxes me and then I just kind of can go through. Because I can only see it from my vantage point, right?
Right.
So when I kind of look at it in the broad scope of this was the broadcast, and this is what happened in certain parts of the race that I don't get to see that I wasn't a part of. It's so I do that pretty much every Sunday.
Do you ever take umbrage with an announcer criticizing something you've done?
Okay, yeah, a couple times. yeah, there's sometimes you rewatch the broadcast and you're like, man, why the hell did you say that about me? Like, come on, man. Like, sometimes they get pretty harsh, but sometimes it's warranted for sure. But then other times I'm like, man, that wasn't called for. That wasn't cool.
Do you enjoy, you've done that a little bit with the trucks and Xfinity and stuff with Fox. Do you like going up in the booth?
Yeah, I'll do like two or three a year. Yeah. I definitely don't want to make a career out of it. Like, even after I'm done racing, I don't really see myself doing that stuff, but I like doing, two or three a year. Just it's a cool vantage point. And I think the fans enjoy it. Like having a racer go up there and commentate and kind of give their perspective and view of, hey, this is what this guy's thinking, or this is how the track is right now, and just the racer's mindset. So I think it just is a cool addition when I can go do it, and a lot of drivers do it right now. Yeah. So it's a fun time.
I think it's cool too to have, and there's some guys that, I was like, okay, they're going to go to the booth when they're done. Boyer is certainly one of them. Jeff Burton was one of them. But I was a little surprised with Dale Jr. I was a little surprised with Harvick. But the insight that they have, having literally, Kevin especially, just gotten out of the race car, like, I think that's really cool to, watching at home and kind of getting that perspective.
Yeah, and I think, whenever sports in general do that, whether it's football or basketball or motorsports, like, I think it just adds a neat element to it of, like, I say what you want, but, like, I really enjoyed, like, when Romo went to the booth.
Yeah.
And, like, a guy that's just fresh out of it. I mean, I think it was like the New England and Kansas City playoff game that was, like, one of his first big calls. He's calling the plays, like, Brady's killing it. They're going to go here to Gronk. And like, he did it. And I was like, that's so cool for me to, as a fan who doesn't know anything about the insides of football, of having somebody who knows from a quarterback mindset to like, this is what goes on in these guys' brains as like these plays are developing or even before they develop. So I think that's the same thing with motorsports.
Who was the guy we had on that we asked him if he won Talladega, he would mention us? The young kid from Vegas.
Oh, Noah.
Noah Gregson?
Yeah. So can you do that for us if you win Sunday?
If I win Sunday, all right, I'll give y'all a shout out.
The Chase and Big Joe Show, and we'll Chase will see this weekend.
If he wins Sunday, I'll come down to Victory Lane.
Yeah, please do. I'll get a picture together in Victory
Lane.
We'll run
through it Sunday morning together.
All right, perfect.
Chase and Big Joe. Yeah. Perfect. Well, really, we need some more drops for our show.
Consider it done. That's easy. The hard part's winning the damn thing.
Is it? Do you feel like this is a good opportunity for you?
I think so. Yeah, we've had really good runs here. I like this place, and. Yeah, we've had last couple of years. I feel like we've had a decent shot at it. So we'll see. We'll see if we can do it. I'd love to do it because the trophy's cool. They give you a nice little guitar, when you win it. And I'd like to do it.
Well, we hope you can. Thanks so much for doing this. It's good to hang out.
One
with
more,
you.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
All my friends who are adults are acting like 10-year-olds. Want to know what happens if you have to go
to the bathroom?
Yep, the car. There you go.
I figured that one was coming.
Right?
I get Thanks, that guys. Question a lot. and to all you curious listeners out there. So me personally, I take care of all that before I get in the race car.
Okay.
Like, you hydrate up all week and like I wait till the very last minute to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
And another side of it though, you sweat most of it out anyway because it's so hot in them things. Now, if you got to go number two, you hope you took care of that before the race. But if not, I've never been in the position I've had to go number two. I've definitely had a pee a few times. And some guys would just go, you got to let it go. I have not done that because I'd feel too bad to my interior guy who has to take out my seat and clean that thing. But yeah, I've known guys that they'll go.
There's some that just openly go.
But I take... I wait till the very last minute to go, so I don't have to.
Love it.
In the car. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny if you're like in the infield of a track right after intros and the anthem, usually, like it's a mass. Like you guys are like boom, running to anything that you can go to.
Pretty much like you said, right after driver intros or right after the anthem, it is. All drivers headed to the Port-a-John and then back to your cars before you go.
Great.
Yeah, if you ever want to kidnap drivers, just wait at a Port-a-John at a racetrack because there's like five of us in a line. Yeah.
Well, I always laugh because I like see somebody literally waiting by the Port-a-John for you guys to come out like, hey, can I get an autograph?
Oh, yeah.
Like, can he wash his hands?
Oh, I've done, oh, there's been so many times. So many times. I'm like, man, I got, or even like going to it, I'm like, I gotta do something quick, man. I'll get you when I get out.
It's pretty funny. Ryan, thanks for doing this. Good luck this weekend.
Appreciate
maybe
it.
I'll run into you, but thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
He's Ryan Blaney, driver the number 12. We'll come back with What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I appreciate Ryan Blaney for hanging out in the studio with us. That was a lot of fun. Looking forward to seeing him this weekend. And, you know, I think now we got to cheer for him, right?
Right. Especially if he wins and says our name.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I will. I'll head to Victory Lane and be like, I got to go, guys. I told him I would.
Remember us?
Yeah.
Ryan!
With that, let's get to What Day Is It in Celebrity Birthdays. It is presented by – oh, this is my line, isn't it? It is presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Jarrett Fire Division covers all of your business's fire safety needs. Just go to JarrettFire.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, gentlemen. First of all, we have Amnesty International Day. So International Hamburger Day is today. There's
got,
a lot.
We got some.
There's a lot of burger stuff going on. Let's see. Menstrual Hygiene Day is today, so keep your hygiene. National Beef Burger Day is today. And there's a lot of beef stuff going on here. National Brisket Day. I mean, delicious. National Senior Health and Fitness Day. And to wrap it up, we have the Slugs Return from Capistrano Day.
Wow. That's good stuff. Thank you, Dr. Clark.
You're welcome.
Thank you about hygiene.
Oh, my gosh. You are the absolute best. You are the best thing about this radio station. And I mean that with every fiber of my hygienic self. Oh,
gotta make sure you take care of yourself, you know?
Yeah, you're right on that.
That's true.
All right, celebrity birthdays, got to get these. I can't even talk. You got to get these within two. Oh, my gosh. First birthday, Gladys Knight. Not the Pips, but Gladys Knight. How old is she?
82.
77.
81. Chaser knows his Pips. Singer Kylie Minogue. Minogue, whatever.
34.
Oh, my God.
38.
57.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Scrolling down here some. There we got. Now she lives in Nashville. Kobe Calais.
47.
51.
She's 40. She's adorable. Singer John Fogerty.
80.
82.
80, exactly. Chase up 3-0. Singer Billy Vera. Billy Vera and the Beaters.
77.
71.
81. Oh, our buddy Phil Vassar.
I can't read the text line right now.
Don't.
63.
58.
61. Chase up 4-0. Friend of the show, her husband is Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
48.
42.
48. Chaser's killing us.
I know my best friend's wife's birthday.
6-0. Rapper Chubb Rock.
46.
40.
57. Baseball player Kirk Gibson. The legend.
67.
71.
68. Chaser's up 7-0. Former Michigan All-American Glenn Rice basketball led him to a national championship.
41.
64.
57. 58, sorry. Michael Orr, Blindside.
Friend of the show.
Should know this.
36.
39.
39, exactly. Wow. Our last birthday, the Honorable Mr. Hockey himself, Terry Crisp.
81.
83.
Oh, 82, it's a push. Chaser wins 7-2.
Happy,
well done.
Happy birthday, Crispy. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. That'll do it for us.
Yeah, well, to our guys out there, every show, and I apologize for my voice, I'll make this quick and simple. Know that we love you. If you're going through anything, please talk to somebody. Please, please, please talk to us on your cell phone. You can call or text 988. Somebody's always there. Please reach out to us. Our world is beautiful because you're in it. Bottom line, and we love you. More importantly, more than anything else, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.